But I do want to say just a word before my time starts. I believe I have just a moment before I start. I want to thank the ladies and all the good cooking and the work that's gone involved in this meeting. And I do thank God for the opportunity to be here. And I'm grateful for God's kindness and grace that He has extended upon my life and how that He's been so good to me, the least of any that should be in the house of God. But I'm grateful that God reached down and saved me back in 1984, and I'm grateful for that from the depths of my heart today. I want you to take your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 15, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And I want to say I've enjoyed the preaching. I thank the Lord for, I mean, it's just like God letting everything fit. And I'm glad that God's anointed these men to preach and to help our heart. And I trust He to help us here this morning. The Luke chapter 15, please stand to your feet just for a moment. And a very familiar story we'll be reading from tonight, or this morning. And I'll begin reading at verse number 16 of Luke chapter 15. And would had fain had filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'll arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. You can be seated, please. I want to pray and ask God that He might help us here this morning. Father, I love You. And I thank You for all the good singing. Thank You for the great messages, Lord, that You've anointed Your men preach to our heart and soul. Lord, You've let us sit in heavenly places. And I'm glad, thank God, it won't be long, we'll be there. And I pray this morning, oh God, You might anoint me and fill me. And Lord, use us, Lord, for the glory of God. Pray You'd bind every devil, every demon of hell. And Father, move in this place today. And we'll sure love You and thank You and praise You for it. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I'll take my text this morning for a few minutes out of verse number 18, where the Bible said, I will arise and go to my Father. I want to preach on the subject by the help of God where I believe most people live in this life. Sometimes in life you get so sick and tired of being in the hog pen, but you hadn't got enough sense about you to make it to the house. And there's a lot of folks sitting in Baptist churches that I've preached to all these years, and some I've tried to pastor, and others I pestered. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it takes a whole lot of God in a man's life or a young person's life or a woman's life really to get it settled in their heart that they're going to get sick and tired of living between the hog pen and home. Now, I'm going to tell you, I tell you what I believe goes on in people's life. They live most of their journey up between the hog pen and home. And I'm going to tell you, friend, neither place is good for you, the hog pen or the between. But if you ever make it home, that's the best place you could ever be. And I want to tell you on the outside of the message that there's a God in heaven that is willing how to meet you when you turn and make your journey that way. The Bible talks about him having the fatted calf. The Bible also talks about the Father looking out yonder, and when he saw him a great way off, then he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him, and there was a great reunion there. But there's a lot of things transpired between the hog pen and home. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I met a lot of people that have made up their mind the hog pen was no longer good enough, but I had not seen them, friend. I get sick enough of that between journey, and I get right with God. Now, when you're living between the hog pen and home, I'll tell you something. You're in between, the greatest decision of your life. But it's the most dangerous place that you could ever be. Because I tell you what you'll have to deal with. You'll deal with procrastination. Most people intend on getting right with God, but they want to do it later. They want to do it when it's convenient for them to do it. It is never convenient, friend, to get right with God. It'll always be a conflict. It'll always be a battle. But I want to tell you, thank God, victory was won. Hallelujah, Calvary. If you'll just make that journey and make up your mind that you're going to get right with God, he'll meet you there, honey, with open arms and kiss away all your transgression. Now, living between the hog pen and home. Why you want to put it off any longer? You see, there's a discovery that you'll make. Them folks in the hog pen don't care about you. And all the things you thought that delighted your heart has somewhat of a delusion to it. At the end of the liquor bottle, there's no fun down the bottom of the bottle. At when the dance is over and the lights go out and you make your way back home, I got something to tell you. There's some heartache. And there's some sleepless night. And there's some decision you're going to have to make. You'll keep wasting everything you have. You'll keep being jerked around and used up and wore out. But I got something to tell you, friend. There's nobody out in that world that cares for you. They'll take everything you've got and rape you of everything you've ever had and walk off and leave you when you need somebody. Our Bible tells us that. Living between the hog pen and home. You see, some people have discovered the hog pen ain't good enough. I mean, you can tell. We just had a boy, 24 years old, got saved. We just come out of a 7-week prayer meeting every night of our church. And there's a man in our church that's got 50 in his family. That's to say he's got his wife, children, and grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, 50 of them. And son, we've been a-praying that God get a hold of their heart. And son, that little 20-year-old boy been on that crystal meth. Wasted everything. His license are gone. Had no direction in life. That son, God got to deal with his heart. And he walks in the back of that church and sits down. Son, looked like he had nothing in his mind, blank as he could be. Looked like he preached to that pole right yonder, had everything flying over his head, but he come back and come back. And I tell you, one Sunday morning, God happened to pass by. And Lord, I'm going to tell you that God moved in and somebody got right in his way. I'll tell you what God done that boy's life. He got so sick of living that hog pen, he walked to the house of God. He got so sick of that crowd. He said, I'm just so tore up. My life's so messed up. But I don't fit out yonder. And he felt like he didn't fit over here. Right in that in between. And there's always somebody And there's always something that's going to try to hinder you and keep you from getting all the way in. And I remember that morning, son, God moved by. Said, there was his cousin sitting right there. Sitting right in the way, Brother Carrico. And he just pushed him down. But little did he know up on that altar, there was Grandma up there praying, tears running down her face. On the other side, Grandpa was up there praying, tears are running down their face. And he looked at me and said, what do I do? I said, best thing I tell you, get under Grandpa's arm. He slid up under his Grandpa, and I'm going to tell you what he decided. I didn't want to live between a hog pen and home. I want to make it home. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to tell you, it don't matter where you've been, what you've done. It don't matter what devil's got in your mind, your heart. Because when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to look down another direction. But there's a lot of distance from the hog pen and the home. See, you got to travel. You got to travel, friend, the distance from the hog pen to the home. Some of you don't want to face the junk you've caused in your life. Some folk don't want to be honest and quit blaming everybody else in their life. Son, you can't point at somebody and say it's their fault. Yeah, you're where you are because you want to be there. Nobody made you smoke that dope. Nobody made you drink that liquor. Nobody made you make a harlot out of your life. Nobody caused you to fornicate. It's all out of your wicked heart. I got something to tell you. The long arm of the love of God will reach down in that hog pen and draw you out where you are. Now some of you right now are living between the hog pen and home. Now you have to suck it up and be right. You can't have pride. You cannot think that you're worth a thing. You'll have to pour contempt on everything you are. You have to quit blaming Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt Susie or whoever else in your life. It ain't your friends. It's out of the filthiness of your hearts where you are. And you need to understand something, friend. You got to get out of the hog pen. But that don't get you safe. You want to travel the distance from the hog pen back home. You won't know whose heart he's breaking. He's breaking his mama's heart and his daddy's heart. I'm going to tell you who he hurt the most was that saved grandma and grandpa. Facing all of that disobedience, all of that disrespect, all that vile, wicked heart of yours. Talk rough to your mama, talk bad to your daddy, act like they're nothing but a piece of trash. I'm going to tell you, friend, God gave the first commandment promise, and it is to honor thy father and thy mother all the days of your life. And God should have killed him. God should have let him die. But aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad for God's good and compassion on our life? Son, he hooked up under his old papa. And on the other side of the church was his cousin, 26-year-old cousin, that girl. She slid up under Grandma's arm. You need to understand something. It takes a whole lot of heartache to wake some people up. When are you going to come to yourself? Best friend you have in this world is your mom and daddy. The safest place you could ever be is under the arms of people that love you. And the devil's so good at filling your mind up. Your daddy's too hard. Mama's too rough. They don't understand. They won't let me do this and they won't let me do that. And they don't love me. If they love me, I can do everything else everybody else is doing. That talk will get you in trouble. But when you chew all that out and puke all that junk out of your life and you start wallowing in your own vomit and living in your own slop and eating all that junk, I tell you what you'll do. You'll get sick of that mess. And the devil will lie to you, say nobody loves you. Nobody cares. Look to the mess you're in. Hey, wait a minute now. There is a delight on the other side of that sorrow that there's going to be, can I say it right? There's going to be a reunion. There's going to be a coming together. You see, mom and daddy didn't sell the farm so you come back the way you are. They didn't throw in and give in. They paid the price. Had the sleepless nights, had scars in their heart, a brokenness in their life, but I'm glad for the picture of the good grace of God. I have broke his heart so many times. I should have died and went to hell without God, but I'm glad he looked out over the field and looked long enough and watched long enough. And dear God, when I got out of that hog pen, I started making my way home. He saw me make my, hey, you're going to have to get enough distance between you and the hog pen. And when you get at that point where you've gone about as far as you can go and you're afraid to turn back this way and don't know how it's going to be up here. But when the Father saw him a great far way off, I guarantee you, can I say this right and y'all not think I'm trying to hurt the Bible? I believe the Father said he looks wore out. He looks tired. He looks so weak and frail. Don't look like he's going to make it the rest of the way on his own. About the time his foot got out of that rocking chair, got off of that front porch, God hears a high step in it, running down toward that boy. That boy's head was hung low and didn't know what it's going to be like. But how'd you like to have been there when he looked up and daddy wasn't doing this number? But he looked up and daddy's said, come here, boy. Come here, boy. Come here, boy. I'm so drunk on God, it's pathetic. I don't know about you, preacher. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I don't know how you feel about it. How? I know what it's like for me. Here's what I was thinking. What's he going to say to me? I don't know how I'm going to pay him back. I don't know how I'm going to fix all this. I don't know what they're going to think about it when I get there. I don't know how I'm going to fix all the broken heart. And mama cried in the night. And daddy wept in the night. And I broke their heart. I don't know. But I know one thing. If he'll just let me be a servant and sleep out in the quarters with if I could just see him and mama once in a while, it's a better living in the hog pen. Oh, I feel like climbing that pole right now. Oh, Lord. It's coming in faster than I can get it out. He's fixing a loaf right now. That's all I'm telling you. But you better hear what I'm telling you. So dirty, feeling so unworthy that that you just wish that you could feel the tender hug. I'm on a close. Oh, that old fellow in my church for a while, his daddy was a Catholic. Lived in a nursing home. And he drove about 70 miles on Sunday morning to go get his daddy. His daddy wore having all the physical problems, having the trouble with his kidneys and bowels and all that stuff. And that boy would go get him out of that nursing home and say, "Daddy, I love you. Aren't you going to hell?" And he'd talk to him. And I remember times he'd have to take him and change his clothes and to take care of him. He said, "I'm going to get Daddy again this weekend. I just want God to save my old daddy." He'd come in shaking and he'd hip him up on that front pew. And he'd sit there and look up at me, have them little old jogging pants on because it's easy to function that way. And I remember one morning preaching and God settled in real thick. And God just like, boom, he moved in. And I'm telling you, God just got to moving. And everybody's crying and everything's about to be over. And the Holy Ghost said, "Go over and put your arm around his daddy." And I went over and I said, "Sir, would it be hard if I asked you a question?" He said, "Please do." I said, "Are you sick of being lost?" He said, "Oh God, I'm tired of the war. I'm tired of the fight inside." He said, "I'm sick of living the way I'm a living in a nursing home." I said, "You might get saved." He said, "You reckon God had saved me? 73 or 4 years old, brother." I said, "Sure as you're sitting there, God has saved." And he just said, "Lord," he said, "Lord, I don't know how to say it, but I'm sure sorry. Save me," he cried out. And everybody's shaking hands, everybody's messing around. And he looked at me, he said, "Here's what he said. The war's over." He said, "I feel like he kissed me." I got peace in my heart. I said, "What?" I said, "Would you like to go tell your son?" He said, "Help me up." Brother Bobby, I grabbed his hands and his body. And he had grabbed beside the pew. And I hollered at that brother, said, "Turn around. Your daddy's behind you." He turned around and looked at his daddy. His daddy said, "Boy, come here." Now, if I got to explain what this is, you're in bad shape. If you can't figure out the rest of that, son, you're in real bad shape. We shouted and cried all over that place. And if you're here today and you're lost, without God, quit living in that stinking hog pen. They'll take your virginity. They'll rob your mind. They'll rob your morals. They'll rob your parents and people that love you. And they'll use you and throw you off like a dirty rag. And you'll wallow in that slop and in that old mess. But I got something to tell you. If you'll just cross over that old fence, get your foot out of that garbage and start making your journey home, he'll meet you with open arms. And he'll love on you. And he'll love on you so good you won't want to leave.